بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I thought I would do a final summary of the seven keys to success, because you've been listening to different excerpts from the workshop that we did in ISWM in West Springfield in the US. And so I thought, let me quickly do a brief summary and an overview of what we talked about. The seven keys are: the first one is connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two is to take risk. Three is to focus on what you can control or influence. Four is to analyze objectively and face the brutal facts. Number five is to set extraordinary goals. Number six is to create a roadmap with timelines. And number seven is relentlessly to measure results, your own first, because success is never an accident. If you think about these seven things, yeah, and I am going to ask Omer to send you this one slide which comes with the lecture, so that you have that in front of you as you listen to this presentation. This is what I'm describing here, the seven keys, is, if you can see that, it's like a path, it's like a map, it's like a sequence, it's like a journey, and it's a whole glorious cycle, it's a whole, beneficial cycle, virtuous cycle, which starts with centering yourself. There's this concept in Aikido called centering. So centering yourself in the purpose of your creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the insan and the jinn for anything other than my worship. So to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to accept that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his Nabi and Rasul. To connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to accept that the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that he did it, which we know as the Sunnah. So the Kitab and Sunnah are encapsulated and they are contained in this one line or two lines of the Kalimatani of Shahada, the Kalima Tayyiba, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the essence of our Iman. This is the essence of the way of the Muslim, which is to follow the Kitab in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Kitab and the Sunnah are interlinked. The Kitab is the word of Allah. The Sunnah is the understanding and the application of the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person does that, he gets confidence, he gets courage, he understands that there is a purpose in his life, that he was not created in vain, that he wasn't created without a purpose. And that leads to the second point, which is he takes risk. That risk which he takes looks like risk to the world, but that risk is really the symbol of his tawakkul on his Rabb Jalla Jalalu, on tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is extremely important that we understand this, because without that without understanding the connection between this, between tawakkul and where tawakkul comes from, which is from the understanding of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So, that is the second part of the sequence. Now, once you decide to take risk, what do? You focus on what you can control or what you can influence, even though you do not control it directly. So you focus on your own strengths and you focus on your weaknesses, not to criticize, not to beat yourself up, not to feel bad about them, but to look at your weaknesses as in the context of how can I get over them. So if there is something that I need to do, how can I do that? If I don't have the money to start a school, but I know a school is required, then how can I motivate someone else who has the money to fund that good objective? So what can I control and what can I influence? I do not have the ability to take decisions because I am not part of those exalted gatherings where decisions are taken, but I have the power to write and I have the power to speak, and the people sitting in those hallowed chambers, they read and they listen, and if my words can influence them and their minds, then inshallah they will take the kinds of decisions that I would like them to take. Focus on what you control and focus on what you can influence. For this I use my motto and I share that with you as my gift, which is, I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. Which leads then to a game plan. And also to the fact that not every effort is successful. So what do I do if I meet failure? So the game plan and what do I do if I meet failure, which is the point number 4. Analyze objectively and face the brutal facts. Stop fooling yourself. Don't look at the world with through rose-tinted glasses. Don't make excuses. Face the brutal facts. But do not allow that to make you depressed. Do not allow that to discourage you. Do not allow that to stop your effort. Continue to work to fulfill your goals, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put breath in your body. So facing the brutal facts, but analyzing objectively. If we don't face the brutal facts, then we don't have good data. We have imaginary data. We are working with fantasies, with self-generated images, and that cannot lead to good decisions. But at the same time, if you are facing the brutal facts, but you are getting stuck in emotion and you're not being objective, then that is negative. So therefore, analyze objectively and face the brutal facts. That is point number 4, key number 4. Key number 5 is to set extraordinary goals. Now I have done something, it succeeded, and I am now looking at the next step. Or I did something and I failed, now I'm looking at the next step. In both cases, you're looking at the next step. And for that, what must I do? I must set extraordinary goals. Why extraordinary goals? Because extraordinary goals inspire extraordinary effort. Extraordinary goals inspire extraordinary effort. People rise to high expectations, not to low expectations. That is key number 5. Key number 6 is, now that I have set a goal, what must I do? Create a roadmap with timelines. What do I need to do? What is the next step? What is the next milestone? And that is the timeline. By when will I do this? A goal without a timeline is a wish. It is a fantasy. It is not a goal. We must have timelines and we must have a roadmap with milestones. And then we relentlessly measure our results. That's very clear. If you have set goals, then we measure the results. How am I doing with regard to whatever I set myself out to do? And in the measuring of results, who must I measure first? Myself. That is the key. Because if I am going to hold other people accountable without holding myself accountable, then that is negative, that does not achieve any purpose. So that is why this is the summary of the seven keys to success. So I thought let me try to summarize this so that you have that in mind as you listen to the excerpts, the extracts. And those of you who did not attend the workshop, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, if Allah gives the life and the effort and the energy and the ability, we will do this again somewhere in the world, maybe here, maybe elsewhere. Do try to attend it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you to make dua, if inshallah, for me and my family. And I hope you are successful in this. And I wish you all success in achieving this, because this is the route for us to be successful in this dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.